We'll read the verse, right, line by line, and we could all repeat.
Kshipram bhavati dharmatma. Kshipram bhavati dharmatma. Shashvachantim nigachati. Shashvachantim nigachati. Kaunteya pratijanihi. Kaunteya pratijanihi. Name bhakta pranashyati. Name bhakta pranashyati.
So I'll read just once now the whole thing and we could have, right?
Kshipram bhavati dharmatma. Shashvachantim nigachati. Kaunteya pratijanihi. Name bhakta pranashyati.
If there is somebody who wants to lead, then we all can follow. Somebody wants to chant? Prabhu?
Kshipram bhavati dharmatma. Shashvachantim nigachati. Kaunteya pratijanihi. Name bhakta pranashyati.
Anyone? Just take a try, no problem. Okay. So, translation, he quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. Please repeat. He quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. This should not be misunderstood. Sometimes the purport goes really long, so therefore we don't have it repeated. In the 7th chapter, the Lord says that one who is engaged in mischievous activities cannot become a devotee of the Lord. One who is not a devotee of the Lord has no good qualifications whatsoever. The question remains then, how can a person engaged in abominable activities, either by accident or by intention, be a pure devotee? This question may justly be raised. The miscreants, as stated in the 7th chapter, who never come to the devotional service of the Lord, have no good qualifications, as is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Generally, a devotee who is engaged in the 9 kinds of devotional activities is engaged in the process of cleansing all material contamination from the heart. He puts the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the heart, and all sinful contaminations are naturally washed away. Continuous thinking of the Supreme Lord makes him pure by nature. According to the Vedas, there is a certain regulation that if one falls down from his exalted position, he has to undergo certain ritualistic processes to purify himself. But here there is no such condition. Because the purifying process is already there in the heart of the devotee due to his remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly. Therefore, the chanting of, everybody can say together, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, should be continued without stoppage. This will protect a devotee from all accidental fall downs. He will thus remain perpetually free from all material contaminations. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, welcome to this evening Bhagavad Gita class. Every morning in this temple, we have Srimad Bhagavatam class for an hour. And in the evening, we have a Bhagavad Gita class. Srimad Bhagavatam is about Krishna, and Bhagavad Gita is what Krishna spoke. Sometimes people think it's the same. Bhagavat Puran. Kai ke baar log bolte hain Bhagavat Pravachan. What is that Bhagavat? Bhagavat Puran or Srimad Bhagavatam is about Krishna, about Bhagavan. The word Bhagavat comes from the word Bhagavan. About Bhagavan is Srimad Bhagavatam, and that which Bhagavan sang, Geet means song. Even in Hindi, Geet Gana, you know. So that song which God Himself sang is called as Bhagavad Gita. Now this Gita is not a book for the Hindus. It is not a scripture by the Hindus. It is not the scripture, you know, of, by, for, whatever, the Hindus. Bhagavad Gita is the song of God. Everybody is included.
Yeah.
And none of the verses in the Bhagavad Gita say it is meant only for the Hindus. It is meant only for the Muslims. It is meant only for the Christians. All these communal divisions are made by the politicians. So first and foremost, never think that Bhagavad Gita is a Hindu scripture. Bhagavad Gita is a scripture, and what does it talk about? It is a song sung by the Supreme Lord, Shri Krishna, to his friend Arjuna. Now being Indians, we are all very much aware of the situation where Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, right? Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna when he was perplexed. Now how many of us are very happy in this world? We all endeavor to be happy, but we end up being perplexed. All our endeavor, we become disappointed. We have our expectations, and then we have our reality. And the difference between expectation and reality is frustration. Right? When you don't have any expectation, you welcome reality. But high expectation and low reality, so much of frustration. So all of us have frustration, all of us have anxiety. Kitna zyada, kitna kam, that varies from family to family, person to person, situation to situation. But all of us have it. So therefore, Krishna spoke this to Arjuna who was perplexed. Because on the behalf of Arjuna, Krishna is speaking to everyone who is perplexed. Right? Everyone who is disappointed. Now one time I was speaking at IIT Bombay. Right? And one boy who was doing, I think, computer science there at IIT Bombay. He asked me this question. If this Bhagavad Gita is a spiritual book, it is meant to give us peace, why was it not spoken in the temple? Bhagavad Gita was not spoken in the temple. Bhagavad Gita was not spoken inside a cave where sadhus do meditation. Where was Bhagavad Gita spoken? Ranbhumi. Battlefield. Sunai bhi nahi dega wahan pe. If you actually talk, you can't even listen. It is so noisy. Shankh bajra and ting-tung-ting-tung. Even when B.R. Chopra's Mahabharata is going on, you can't hear. Sitting inside the same room. What to speak of actual Kurukshetra? So it was spoken because all of our lives, every single day is like a battlefield. We are all like Arjuna, every single day fighting our daily life. Right from getting up early in the morning, to getting up to work, managing your family. Arjuna was in the same situation. He wasn't a sannyasi. He was a grihastha. He had his family, right? He had his children, Abhimanyu. He had his friends. He had everything. So people cannot give excuses that this Bhagavad Gita is meant for the sadhus. Krishna spoke this Bhagavad Gita to the person who was grihast and person who was fighting. We are better off because our fight is only in the computer, you know, through emails. But he had to actually fight. So he was very perplexed, very disappointed, right? His mind was completely disappointed because he was finding his own people on the other end. Drishtvemam svajanam Krishna. He saw his own grandfather, he saw his own guru, he saw his own brothers. Abhi, how to fight them? That is the situation, right? Now this is called as Dharma Yudh. This battle of Kurukshetra is called as Dharma Yudh. Why? Because it is not teaching you to fight against your relatives, but it is teaching you to fight against injustice. One time one person was asking me, if Krishna is God, why is he telling Arjuna to fight? Fighting is wrong. Killing is wrong. So why is he telling Arjuna to fight? This is the answer. The answer is, Krishna is not telling us to fight. Through that battlefield, Krishna is explaining that even if we are in a situation where we are struggling every single day, how we can use the message that Krishna gave in the Bhagavad Gita to find peace. Another notion that people have, wrong understanding, is that Bhagavad Gita is teaching you to be sannyasi, to leave everything and go into forest. No. Arjuna told Krishna that I don't want to fight, I can go into the forest, become a sannyasi and beg. Krishna said, no, don't escape your duty. Do your duty. So Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita not to tell you to leave everything and run away like a coward, but taught the Bhagavad Gita to help you do your duty better. How? Not the way we all do it. Because the way we all do our duty, but we are ending up frustrating ourselves. Irritation. Krishna gave a knack. And that knack he is discussing in these 18 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. So we are exactly at the center of the book. Sometimes when you have to pick novels and you don't know how the story is going, you pick to the center of the novel and you try reading a couple of pages to see where the author is taking you, right? So I have exactly done the same thing. Since you all have come, I've just picked the exact half of the book, the ninth chapter, which is called as Most Confidential Knowledge. Now, if there is a superlative case of most confidential knowledge, then there has to be something which is confidential, something that is more confidential, and something that is most confidential. Now we'll discuss what is that. What is confidential? Aisa kya hai jo gupt hai, rahasya? What is that which people don't know? The idea that we are not this body. We are not this body. We all think we are these bodies. Right? Now when you ask somebody, you think, I am this body. Manta hai. Sab jante hai. We all think that we are this body. But the irony is we are not this body. Krishna says, he smashes that argument in the second chapter by saying, you are not this body, you are spirit, soul, the Atma that people talk. Don't think Atma means ghost. That is another wrong understanding people have in India. Atma means ghost. Well, that is a type of Atma. But Atma doesn't mean ghost. Atma means spirit, soul. We are all spirit, soul. And we are staying in this body. Like for example, you all entered this room. By entering the room, do you become the room? No. You enter the room, you stay in the room, you leave the room. That is exactly what we do with this body. We enter the body in the form of birth. We stay in this body in the form of life. We leave this body in the form of death. In our language, we use this very often. When a person leaves this world, what do we say? So and so person passed away. Who passed away? You bury the body, right? You burn the body, right? The body decays. Who passed away? The eyes that you have seen are there. The hands and the legs that you have seen are there. Then who passed away? The spirit soul passed away. When the person is alive, you say Mr. Arvind is here. Doctor so and so. As soon as there's death, what do we say? When are we cremating the body? Why don't we say Arvind? Because that Arvind that you are referring to life, that spirit soul has already left. Right? In Hindi, they say Swargiya. Who went to Swarg? Kya Swargiya ho gaya? Who went to Swarg? Who went to that, we say departed for the heavenly abode. Who departed? That person whom you know is there in front of you. You yourself with your own hands you cremated. Where? Whom are you fooling? The thing that you have never seen has departed. That is the spirit soul. People don't know this. So Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita is smashing the first argument that you are not this body. So don't think, oh Arjuna, that you are actually killing them. Because they are not the bodies that you are seeing. Anyway, they are going to die one day. So better do it as a matter of your duty. You know. Then what is more confidential? Building on to this idea. The fact that we are all part and parcel of God. If we are spirit soul, the next question is, where does that spirit soul come from? If I am 25 years old, where was I 30 years ago? Nobody thinks about all that. Well, I was in my previous birth. Right? And where does all this originate from? What is the nature of that? This spirit soul is part and parcel of God. Mamai vamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana mana srashthani indriyani prakriti sthani karshati. 15:6 Bhagavad Gita. 15 chapter, text 6. So Krishna says, your spirit soul and you are part and parcel of me. Now part and parcel means what? Means there is a whole and there is a part. That whole is Krishna, the part we. Now when you say part, like for example, there's a big piece of cake and there's a piece. So the piece tastes the same like the cake, which means the part actually inherits the qualities of the cake, of the whole. So what qualities of God do we inherit? Three qualities: Sat, Chit and Ananda. What does Sat mean? Eternal, that which doesn't change. Satya. What does Satya mean? Truth, that which doesn't change. We all want to be eternal. Nobody wants to die, right? Because jeena hai hamesha. Medicine, modern medicine is giving you all of that, putting on ventilators. Why? Because you want to save him. The person wants to live forever. Sat. Because God is forever. We are portions of God. We want to be forever. But death is forced on us. Second quality, chit. All-knowing. God is all-knowing. So therefore, we have this natural quality of being all-knowing. We are so curious. Somebody did something to someone. What happened? Where? Do you know what happened? No, what happened? We are always curious. Is there somebody who doesn't want to know anything? We all want to know. And have you seen all these qualities are beyond caste, creed, religion, nationality, and even species? A Russian in Russia wants to live as long as a Nigerian in Nigeria. Different countries, different bodies, different families. But why? Everybody, wherever you find life, that is spirit soul. And wherever there is spirit soul, that is part and parcel of Krishna, carrying the same quality. Third quality, Anand, happiness. Krishna is the abode of all happiness. And because we are part and parcel of Krishna, we want happiness. Ask a child why the child wants to play with toys. Achha lagta hai. I feel nice. Ask a parent why you are going on vacation. Achha lagta hai. I feel nice. To such an extent, as soon as your enjoying mentality is stopped, that is called as dis-ease. Right? We want to be at ease. But the point when there is no ease is disease. Dis-ease. We say he is, you know, diseased. What do you mean by diseased? Dis-eased. Ease means happiness or comfortable. But the point when that comfort is taken away, you are diseased. We all want to be happy. But as soon as you are doing something, you are watching a television, but there's a show that you don't like, you say, I am bored. Right? If there's some dish that is given that you don't like, achha nahi laga. Every second we want happiness. And this quest goes on till you die. And beyond. But it is never satisfied. And how it can be satisfied, that takes me to the third. So confidential is that we are not this body, we are spirit soul. More confidential is because we are spirit soul, we are part and parcel of Krishna. Third, most confidential. Now if we are part and parcel of Krishna, what are we doing in this world? The fact is, this world is called Durg or prison house. And the lady who takes care of this prison house is Durga. She's called as Durga. Durg in Sanskrit means a jail. She who's the jailer, who takes care of people in the jail, is Durga. Right? So this prison house, why are we in the prison house? Because we turned our face against Krishna. Krishna, you are God. I also want to be God. You are all enjoying. I also want to enjoy. But all of that without you. I don't want you. I don't like you. Everybody worships you. They should worship me. Abhiman. I want to be the center. Have a cross check. As soon as somebody gives you a little respect, how do you feel? As soon as you become the center of attraction, how do you feel? Because that is what we are hankering. And because of that feeling, Durga says, you are envious of Krishna? Krishna is my supreme lord. And you are envious of Krishna? I will put you in the jail. Now jail means it's not comfortable. If there is a comfortable jail, what type of jail is it? Jail means it's going to be stringent. It's going to be punished. Dund. Punished. So we are all punished every second. We are kicked every second. Whatever we try to do, we are getting disappointed. Why? Because Krishna says, Dukkhalaya Mashashvatam. This prison house, my dear Arjuna, is a place of suffering. Get out of that prison house. Because you turn your face against me, you get into that prison house. And now I'll tell you how to get out of it. That is the process of bhakti. Bhakti is not a process which is like you give little money to God and you do some puja on your birthday and you get all ashirvad. That is not bhakti. Bhakti is not a part of life. Bhakti is life. We have children. We take care of their education. We take care of our family. This is all our duty. We don't become great by doing that. Everybody does it. Animals also take care of their children. Birds also take care of their children. Huh? Their biggest rakshasas, they protect their children. So protecting children and giving protection to wife doesn't make us very big and great. What makes us great is our attempt to get out of this jail. It is very difficult. If you look around, people aren't even aware that they are in the jail. That's the most difficult thing. If you are, you know, diseased with cancer and you know about it and you're working towards it, then you're intelligent. But your friend is down with cancer and doesn't even know he is having cancer, that is risky. That is, he's in a bad state. That is our situation. Bahu janma. Lifetime after lifetime, lifetime after lifetime, we take bodies. Why? Same endeavor. We were all animals. We were all birds. We were all trees. We were all insects. We were all reptiles. And now we have got this most intelligent human form where you can understand what is being discussed. If I have a cat, dog, and an alligator sit here, they will also listen as we are all listening, but they will not comprehend anything. While you all, including me, are very attentively listening to this message of the Bhagavad Gita. By simply hearing the message of the Bhagavad Gita regularly, we become serious of our situation. We understand, one, that we are not this body, we are spirit soul. Therefore, saying that I am American, I am Indian, I am Hindu, I am Muslim, I am Christian, I am Brahman, you're Shudra, doesn't make sense. Do you see all that? Bhagavad Gita just slashes all these arguments. The politicians take all your votes saying that you're Hindu, you're Muslim, fight. Well, the Bhagavad Gita teaches I am not this body. What type of Brahman and Shudra and Hindu and Muslim and Indian and American are you talking about? I have only one identity. I am part and parcel of Krishna and I am spirit soul. That's all. I am spirit soul, he is spirit soul, you are spirit soul. Therefore, we all are brothers. That is what Bhagavad Gita teaches. Vidyavinaya sampanne brahmane gavi hastini chuni chaiva shvapake cha pandita samadarshina. True learning or wisdom means seeing everyone equally. People think Hinduism talks about caste system and things like that. No, Bhagavad Gita just slashes all that. Don't fight among oneself, you know. We are brothers, why? Because we have one common father. But the problem is, nowadays people are talking about universal brotherhood without universal fatherhood. You cannot talk about brotherhood without establishing your father in the middle. If you kick the father out, what type of brothers are you? So we can talk about universal brotherhood with respect to universal fatherhood, who is God. You can call him by different names. Somebody will call him Allah, somebody will call him ABC, third person will call him Krishna. They refer to the same personality. Prabhupada said, when a reporter came to the US, and a reporter asked him, have you come here to make all the Christians into Hindus? Prabhupada said, no, I have come here to make the Christians into better Christians. The knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita that you find refers to everyone and it talks about this principle of bhakti. By performing bhakti in this human form of life, you can actually get out of this prison house once and for all. Natat bhasayate suryo na shashanko na pavaka yatat gatva nivartante tat dhamam paramam mama. 15:6 Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, if you perform bhakti, you will come back to me. I will embrace you so tight that you will never again go into this prison house. If you are in a jail, are you intelligent if you think that, this is very nice, let me have a carpet, let me have a television, let me have an air conditioner? Or are you intelligent if you think, how can I get out of this place? This place sucks, I want to get out. This place is not a good place. There's so much of suffering here, I want to get out. When you're born, there is suffering. You're born, you're in the womb, you're crying. You come out, your first emotion is crying. You die, crying. Others around, crying. In the middle, you're crying because you're diseased. Then you become old, you're crying. You have been crying all through your life. You meaning all of us. And then when people ask us, how are you doing? I am fine, thank you. We thank them, we lie to them and we thank them. Bhagavad Gita teaches us how we can be wherever we are. We don't have to leave our situation. If we are housewife, we are professional, we are a PhD professor, we are a student, wherever we are, we have to be in our situation, like Arjuna remained in his situation, perform our duty, but perform this extra feather of bhakti. And how to perform bhakti? Prabhupada writes in the last three lines. He says that if there is somebody who chants Hare Krishna Mahamantra in Kali Yuga, it is the easiest thing. In Satya Yuga, when you have to perform bhakti, you have to go into a forest and do dhyan. Who has the qualification to do dhyan and things like that? We sit in a lecture by a professor in a university and we doze off sitting on the first bench. Who has so much of qualification to do meditation? Then came Treta Yuga, where you had to do yajna. Where do we find the pandits to do yajna, you tell me? They are sitting out and eating tobacco. They are drinking liquor and they are associating with prostitutes. Such are the Brahmins in the so-called class. You can't trust them. You want to call them to do yajnas? Doesn't work. In Dwapar Yuga, to get to out of this material world and perform bhakti, you had to worship the deities. Now we all come once a month to the temple, attend an aarti, and we think we are all big devotees. To perform deity worship every day, it's very difficult. Where do we get so much of ghee and worship and things like that? Very difficult. So therefore for us in Kali Yuga, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvip, along with his brother Nityananda Prabhu, he came and gave this Harinam Sankirtan. Harinam Sankirtan means chanting the names of God. Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nama Iva Kevalam, Kalau Nasti Eva, Nasti Eva, Nasti Eva Gatiranyatha. In Kali Yuga, the worship of tantric rites is not going to help. In Kali Yuga, the names of demigods not going to help. In Kali Yuga, the names of so-called dhongi sadhus who are found in scandals won't help. Don't get into these molds of getting into sages and sadhus with saffron robe. I'm not saying all who wear saffron robe are ill-behaved or ill-cultured. But because of a few notorious bogus dhongi sadhus, everybody is under scanner. Don't get into all of that. Right? The way to get is Harinam, the names of Hari, the name of Krishna. And there is no other way. Performing Ashtanga Yoga, different Shivas, you know, Shirsasan and Bhujangasan and Shavasan will help to keep the body healthy, but won't let us out of this world. That is not bhakti. Bhakti is not again just gyan. Bhakti is not performing just our duty. Along with our duty, chanting the names of God, hearing about God, associating with devotees of the Lord and eating prasad, like in Jagannath Puri. Very famous, the Lord is eating so much of prasad. He is giving everybody prasad. Why? Because eating prasad is also bhakti. Eating from the restaurant opposite is not bhakti. But you cross the street and eat at the temple or even at your place, you offer it to Krishna with love and you partake. That is bhakti. Eating prasad, chanting the holy name, associating with like-minded devotees and hearing about the Lord. So now we have all heard about the Bhagavad Gita and now is the process where we chant about Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So on that note, I'll stop.